Amen. Amen. Go ahead and be seated. If you would, open your Bibles to Genesis, the first chapter. Genesis, the first chapter. I've been on assignment over these last few weeks from the Lord about something that He asked me to do. And it's concerning COVID-19, what has been going on, the attack of the devil that began really in March around us, where there were so many things that were taking place and so many things that were happening. And one of the things that I've discovered about this, the more I think about it, the more I pray about it, this really has been a plot of the devil to shut down the church and to shut up the preachers, to literally cut the head off the church so that we're not able to come before you in an assembly like this and preach the Word of God. There's something for people that aren't able to be here to be able to watch it on TV. I'm thankful for that. But for those who are able to be here, there's something about the atmosphere of a service like this. Those services that we were in during the Believers Convention, I would sit there and I could literally feel the presence of God all over me, the presence of the Lord on me and talking to me. At the same time that the minister was talking, I'm hearing the voice of the Lord on the inside. It's really an atmosphere that's alive, a spiritual bubble that we are under, that the Lord brings us in, refreshes us, gives us the fellowship with each other that we need, and the strength to be able to go back out and to do what we need to do. And there have been so many people that have not been able to go to church. So many people that, and one of the studies that has been done, there are people who are now not even returning to church. So you can see what the devil's tried to do. But we cannot let down on our faith in a time like this. And this is teaching us corporately a lesson, a major lesson of how to deal with issues that we individually face in our lives. We're dealing with one now together on a worldwide scale and a worldwide basis. So that's the plan of the devil, to shut down the church. And the reports, the news reports and the things that we're reading about this, people are talking about it lasting through the end of the year, keeping things shut down through the end of the year. And so each one of us individually has to make a decision. We must make an individual decision about how we are going to approach this, what kind of attitude we're going to have, the attitude of faith that we are going to take, that we're not going to get aggravated because of masks. We're not going to get aggravated because of any of the other things that are taking place, but that we're going to just do what we know to do. And what we need to do is to stand on the Word of God. What we need to know, what we need to do is what we know to do, and that is to believe God, no matter what is happening. And this really is a training time for us all. What you do during an attack is really an opportunity to stand firm on the Word of God and defeat the devil. Absolutely defeat the devil. I'm reminded of many years ago, I was executive director the first time, 1989, when we had a $6 million deficit at the ministry. And we were behind in the television bill and other bills. We had just gone on daily television and the bills were mounting up. And it would be easy to throw in the towel. I got discouraged about it. I got beat up about it within myself. But then I thought, we need to use our faith. We need to believe God through this, because they were telling me that it's going to take either from 18 months to 2 years to recover from this deficit. So we just started praying and we started declaring the Word. And one of the things that we did, of course, Kenneth and Gloria were praying, but here on the staff, the Lord had me call the staff together. It was December of 1989 when the deficit was at the highest point. And I called all the staff together every day. And we just did what we knew to do. And that was to praise God and thank Him for the provision and that the enemy is defeated. We did that every day. every day. And when we crossed over into the new year, something happened. You could just tell something happened. Money started coming in. And by the time we reached May of that year, all of the accounts payable were paid in full. Jan, you remember, you were there. Jan Harbor is the CFO of Kenneth Copeland Ministries, also Gloria's sister. And we were working together back then. And I remember on July the 10th of 1990, you came into my office and you had this check in your hand. And you said, George, this is the check for the final payment of the television bill. The $6 million is now wiped out. That was 9 o'clock in the morning. 9 o'clock. I remember it. It is a memorial in my thinking forever. Forever. But what you do from the time you begin facing the situation, what you do from that point on is extremely crucial and extremely important. And that's what we're talking about here. About maintaining our stand, our persistent stand of faith where this is concerned. Now, I've talked to you before about specifically the jurisdiction that Eagle Mountain International Church, Kenneth Copeland Ministries has. And there is a jurisdiction, there's a pastor that I'm responsible for. We live, the church is located actually in two counties. The property of Kenneth Copeland Ministries is in two counties, Wise County and Tarrant County. So we have jurisdiction over both counties. As a church, we must remember that we are the governing body that dominates the world system. We've got to get that down on the inside of us. It has to be real to us, because church, the church of the Lord Jesus Christ, is what Brother Copeland said last night, yesterday, the most powerful thing on earth is the church, the body of Christ. And there's a responsibility, folks, that we have. We are, and I preached this at the tent meeting, we are keepers of the valley. We watch over the counties that we are in. And we've taken our stand where COVID-19 is concerned. I am saying in the name of Jesus that it is over in Tarrant County. It is over in Wise County. That is the authority that God has given to us. The greatest authority that you have is in your own home. And even greater than that is the authority that you have over your own life and your own body. The authority that God has given you. So we practice that. We exercise that. But the Lord is wanting us to go to another place where the authority of the believer is concerned. And in Genesis 1, chapter 26, look at it. This is the creation of mankind. And God said, "Let us make man in our image, after our likeness." One translation says, an exact duplicate in kind. You know, I was thinking about this scripture the other day, meditating on it. And I thought about, and I don't know if you do this, but sometimes if I'm walking down a street or something, and I'll look into a window and see my reflection, I'll look in the reflection and sometimes I see my mother. Oh my goodness, Mom. You're in the window. And there are other times I'll do something, and my family, they're always on me about this, but there's stuff that I do just like my dad. There are ways that I act, things that I say. Sometimes I'll laugh and I'll think, that's my dad's laugh. I was created in the image of Horace and Chessie Pearsons. Now they're both in heaven. And they're having an awesome time, amazing time in heaven. But the thing about it is, if you've seen me, you've seen the Father. If you've seen me, you've seen the Mother. I mean, even down to the very fact that, oh, there's my dad right there. Put him on the screen. Can you see me, him and me? I look like my father. I act like my father. But that's the way it should be. That's the way it should be. My father, from the time that I can remember him as a child. My father was an artist, graphic designer. We were living in New York. He worked in New York City in graphic design. And that's what I grew up to be. I went to art school. Got saved right in the middle of art school. But that's, I mean, from a child, I was following after my father. And even my father, when he retired, he would, every night they'd watch, my mother and father watched TV together, and he would doodle. And we have thousands of pictures of his doodles. It's amazing. The collection that he made, I don't know how long he had been retired, maybe 12 years or so, maybe 20 years to the time that he passed away. But we have all the notebooks with all of his doodles in them. And if you ever look at some of my doodles, mine are not as weird as my father, I must admit. His are pretty strange. Mine are a little bit more mild. They're more pastoral-like. but all I'm saying to you is, this scripture is a demonstration. Let us make man in our image after our likeness. And what we are to do is to think like Jesus, to look like Jesus, to walk like Jesus, to talk like Jesus. We have an aspiration to be conformed to the very image of the Lord Jesus Christ himself. That's what our goal should be. That's what our pursuit in life should be. To look like him, to act like him, to be like him. I had several people say this to me this week. And it's, I guess because I've just been believing for it. But I really am endeavoring to look like my Heavenly Father. Amen. To look like him. And to embrace his qualities and his likenesses and what he wants me to do and what he wants me to be. But it's interesting to me that several people during this convention that I've talked to, they've talked to me and they say, "You are so kind. You are so kind." And then at the graduation service, I was talking to one of the graduates. And she had her family with her. And she stood back and looked at me and said, "You are the epitome of kindness." I thought, wow, that's amazing. That's my heart. That's my desire. But that's part of the pastoral office. Because the pastoral office, not to say that the others don't love people, but there's a special love that a pastor has for his congregation. And really a special love that a pastor has for people in general. You can ask Terry, you can ask Aubrey. I'm constantly talking to people that are out there, and I have people coming up to me. Because there's a magnetism, and it's the Holy Spirit. But really that should be in the inside of each one of us. I remember when Aubrey was just a little girl, and she had a friend of hers come and spend the night. And her little friend came, and the next morning was Saturday, and this was early on in my pastoral time. Now, when I started pastoring in 1993, 94, 95, I would not talk to anyone on a Saturday. I was so locked in, so focused. From morning till night, I would not talk to anybody. And these were the early years, and I was pretty nervous about it and just still, you know, kind of getting my sea legs where being a pastor is concerned. When I was getting ready to pastor the church, we knew a few months before that Terry and I were going to take the church on January 3rd of 1993. I spent weeks, months working on the first message. I was just digging in and working on that message and reworking it. And I remember coming in that first Sunday morning and I preached that message delivered it to the people. And you have to understand, Kenneth and Gloria were in service. We were in the chapel, the little chapel. Kenneth and Gloria are sitting on the front row. And I'm thinking to myself, as I'm preaching, you can think and preach at the same time. I was thinking to myself, Kenneth Copeland is sitting on the front row and I'm preaching to him. And that really, that was disturbing to me. But, you know, the next week they came in and all of a sudden, right in the middle of my message, Kenneth went like this. I thought, oh my gosh, oh, what have I done? What have I said? So after the service was over, I walked up to Gloria. I said, is there something that I said? She said, no, Kenneth just had a headache and it was bothering him. So I finally confronted him with it one day. I said, I'm really nervous about you being in church. not that I wanted him to not be in church, but, and he said something so profound to me. It really helped me. He said, George, you have to understand, I need the word too. I need to be fed as well. So, but in those early days, I was so focused. I wouldn't talk to anybody. I was just like a recluse on Saturdays to get ready for Sunday. And Aubrey had this little friend that stayed with her overnight. And I came out of my reclusive office and I went into the kitchen to get something to drink. And Aubrey and her little friend were standing there. I came in, I got a glass of water, and I turned around and I walked out. And Aubrey's friend said to her, I don't think your dad likes me. And Aubrey said, of course he likes you. He loves you. He's a pastor. That's his job. So that's being created in the image of God. We do things like him. We act like him. And there are times when we must be firm in our stand and in the word of God when something like COVID-19 comes around, that we need to be walking in that image. And that image, if you continue on in Genesis 1, it says, let us make man in our image after our likeness and let them have dominion. Say dominion. Dominion. Let them have dominion over the fish of the sea, the fowl of the air, over the cattle, and over all of the earth, and over every creeping thing that creeps upon the earth. And then he says it again in verse 28, and God blessed them and said to them, be fruitful, multiply, replenish the earth, subdue it, and have dominion over the fish of the sea, the fowl of the air, every living thing that moves upon the earth. So I saw that, and as I was preparing for this message today, the Lord just really, that word dominion just flashed at me. It just jumped out at me. Dominion. Have dominion. In Psalm 8:6, it says, you've made him to have dominion over the works of your hands and have put all things under his feet. Talking about us. Talking about mankind. Lord, you've made him to have dominion over the works of your hands. You put all things under his feet. So it, really simply to define dominion in the Hebrew, it means to govern. To govern. It means to rule and to reign over. Rule and reign over, to govern. And from that word dominion, as I was praying over this, the Lord brought me another word that we get from dominion, and it is the word to dominate. To dominate. And what we do, let me make this clear, we don't dominate one another. Husbands don't dominate their wives. Wives don't dominate their husbands. We don't dominate each other. We are dealing with powers and principalities and rulers of the darkness. COVID-19, that's a spirit. That is a spirit working. It's much more than just a plague, a virus. It is a spirit from the pit of hell to shut down the work of God. That's what it's designed to do. Ultimately designed to do what the devil does. Steal, kill, and destroy. We're not going to have that. We're not having that. So I looked up the word dominate, and it means to exercise complete control. We have control over COVID-19. You and I corporately have control over that plague. It means to exert supreme command. Supreme command. To overpower and to conquer. So you and I are in the midst of conquering COVID-19. We're in the midst of putting it to an end and shutting it down and putting it to a stop. Because Jesus said, when I return, will I find persistent faith in the earth? Persistent faith. Persistent faith does not give up. Persistent faith does not quit. Persistent faith does not throw in the towel. And this is a perfect opportunity for you and I to be strong in the face of this thing. To be strong and to hold our place. Maintain our stand. And that's what we have to do with everything that we face. Everything that comes against us, whether it's financial or family or physical or any other thing that tries to come against our lives. We have to learn how to stand our ground, hold our ground in the face of it. And see it defeated. Because that's what Jesus did. That's what Jesus did. So this phrase, first of all, the word dominate. You dominate whatever is of the curse of the law. You dominate it with the authority that has been delegated to you. Authority has been delegated. Authority is power delegated. You'll notice that Brother Copeland is not in church this morning. He worked all week. He was in convention. He's resting, recovering. And you know what he did? He delegated in 1993 the responsibility of Eagle Mountain International Church to me and to Pastor Terry. He delegated the authority of that. I'm not standing here waiting for him to come through the door, because I don't think he's going to come through the door today. He might, but he has delegated that authority and that power for me to oversee the church. Well, 3 years ago, he delegated the power and authority to Pastor Terry and I to not only oversee the church, but oversee the entire ministry. So that's delegated authority and delegated power under the supreme commander to rule and to reign. And what the Lord ministered to me was the phrase that I've heard Brother Copeland say before, the dominating power of God's word. The dominating power of God's word. Say that with me. The dominating power of God's word. Say it again. The dominating power of God's word. I want you to look at Hebrews chapter 4. Hebrews chapter 4. The dominating power of the Word of God. We must realize and we must understand the power that is resident in the Word of God. We must understand, there's a scripture in the Old Testament that says the Word is like a hammer that breaks apart the rock. It's a powerful tool and a powerful weapon, and it's something that you and I are able to speak and release the dominating power of the Word of God. It's a powerful thing. Do not underestimate. When you speak the Word of God, when you take that Word and declare the Word of God, all of heaven is backing you. You are backed by the Word of God. Whatsoever you bind on earth, it is bound in heaven. You know what that's talking about? Heaven's backing you. Whatever you loose on the earth, it is loosed in heaven. He's upholding all things by the word of his power. And we are, hold your place there. Hebrews 4, and just go back to Hebrews 1. I want to show you something. I'll show you something. In verse 1 of Hebrews 1, God, who at sundry times and in divers manners spoke in time past unto the fathers by the prophets, has in these last days spoken unto us by his Son, whom he's appointed heir of all things, by whom also he made the world. Now, you and I are heirs of God, joint heirs with Jesus. So if we're joint heirs of Jesus and Jesus is heir of all things, then you and I are heir of all things. I thought I would slip that in there. Who, in verse 3, being the brightness of his glory and the express image of his person and upholding all things by the word of his power, when he had himself purged our sins, sat down at the right hand of the majesty on high. So it says here, upholding all things by the word of his power. And I wrote this in my Bible. I heard Brother Copeland, and I'll begin to wrap this up. We have children with us in church today. Can you tell? We have children with us in church today. It is. It's wonderful to have children. But I also can tell when it's time to stop preaching. So, you know, one day we did a Christmas Day service. And the place, we had an all family service, all the children, all the babies. And you know, it's interesting when pastor knows when to quit. There's a lot of noise that goes on out there. What? The babies will let you know when it's time to go home. But I'm so glad they're here. Give a hand to all of our super kids, super babies, super tots. I'm looking at a row full of them down here. This is great. This is great. Okay, so I'll wrap this up. But this is what I wrote. Brother Copeland said this: we are the mouthpiece of the word of his power with which God intended to control and uphold all things. We are the mouthpiece of heaven on earth. The church is the upholding force on earth. We have the same speaking authority on earth as Jesus has in heaven. We have the same speaking authority on earth as Jesus does in heaven. And then he quoted the scripture from 1 John, as he is, so are we in this world. The dominating power of God's word spoken out of the lips of the believer is impenetrable. It is a weapon. And so I'll read this scripture and we'll begin to wrap up. In Hebrews 4:12, in the Amplified Bible, for the word that God speaks is alive and full of power, making it active, operative, energizing, and effective. It is sharper than any two-edged sword, penetrating to the dividing line of the breath of life, the soul and the immortal spirit, and of the joints and the marrow, of the deepest parts of our nature, exposing and sifting and analyzing and judging the very thoughts and purposes of the heart. The word of God is full of power. Jesus used the word of God to cast out devils. He cast them out by his word. We have been delegated the very same authority to speak words that dominate any situation. I'll say it again. We have been delegated the same authority to speak words that will dominate any situation of your life. And the scripture that goes with that, I'll read it to you, Mark 11:22-23. Jesus said to them, have faith in God. Have the faith of God. You have the right to operate in the faith of God. And here's how the faith of God operates. That whoever shall say unto this mountain, be thou removed, be thou cast into the sea, shall not doubt in his heart, but shall believe that those things which he says shall come to pass, he shall have whatsoever he says. So in that scripture, we have been delegated authority through the dominating power of the word of God. So I'm in the convention and I'm thinking about this. This is going through my mind. And all of a sudden, Brother Copeland at healing school begins to speak over COVID-19. And I'm listening to him speak over COVID-19. And I start texting our producer. And I said, I've got to have this clip. I got to have this clip for Sunday morning for all of us together to see this demonstration of not only a prophet of God, but a covenant man. You and I are covenant men and women. And we have the dominating power of the word of God that has been delegated to us to speak over COVID-19 and over anything else. So here's what I want you to do. I want you to stand up right now. Stand up right now. I want you to take a look at the screen. And this was yesterday, Healing School, Brother Copeland taking authority. And I want you to repeat. Some of it's kind of hard to hear because he's going quick. But I want us to corporately agree together, and you that are watching us, agree together over the defeat of COVID-19. Amen? All right, let's go.
We're going to intercede. Put your hands on your lungs and shout this with me. COVID-19!
COVID-19!
I curse you!
I curse you!
Get out of here!
Get out of here!
Get out of my lungs!
Get out of my body!
I am not sick! Trying to take my health away from me. Well, you can't have it, principality. You can't have it, power. You can't have it, ruler of the darkness of this world. You don't rule me. I'm a child of the light. I'm born of the light. I wear the armor of light. I walk in the light as He is in the light. The entrance of His Word brings life. Get out of here, spirit of darkness. Get out of here, spirit of death. How dare you to even attempt to touch this temple of the living God.
Oh, come on, give God praise, everyone. Hallelujah! Hallelujah! Praise God. The dominating power of the Word of God. That was a demonstration for us of how that operates and what we are to do.